Luke chapter number 23, if you will, and we're going to begin looking at verse number 32. Luke 23 and verse number 32. The Bible says here, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." Talking about, of course, we know the Lord Jesus Christ and those two other malefactors that it's referring to. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning, dear Lord. Thank you for each and every single person that's here, dear Lord. For those that could not be here due to health or sickness, I pray that you touch them, heal them, help them to get to feeling better. For those who are not here, dear Lord, by other reasons, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their heart and their lives and draw them back to you, dear Lord, in this place and prick them, I pray. And dear Father, I pray this morning that as we open your word and look at the cross, as we prepare our hearts and minds, dear Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us this morning to focus on you and your word for a few minutes and to look back, dear Lord, at the old rugged cross, to look back, dear Lord, as we've sung songs about the cross this morning. And dear Father, I pray that you would help us to see what you went through on the cross of Calvary for us, fresh and anew this morning, and help us to be more thankful for what you did on Calvary. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we lead up to next week being Easter Resurrection Sunday, if you will, we're going to talk this morning about the seven sayings from the cross. The seven sayings from the cross. And I know we're all familiar with these. I know we've heard them preached and talked about, no doubt, at some point down through the years. But this morning, just Lord willing, real quickly, we're going to go through all seven. And if I don't get through all seven, I'm just going to give you the others and some references at the end, if you will. But we're going to try to get through all seven this morning, so we're going to go real quickly, as best as possible, through these 7 points, if you will, the seven sayings of the cross. The first one we see here, as the Lord Jesus was there on the cross in verse number 34, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's a lot of things that could be said about all these seven sayings on the cross, and a lot has been said and a lot has been written. But you think this was the very first of these seven sayings that Jesus spoke while He was actually there on the cross of Calvary. Notice the first saying, notice who He was talking to. He was talking to His Father. Amen. He said, "Father." And you think about here that, and when I look at this first saying, I know we call it that, but really it's more of a prayer to me. To me, He's talking to the Lord, He's talking to His Father, and He's praying to God, a one-line prayer here, if you will, of, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You think about the Lord Jesus Christ, if it was important for Him to pray or to talk to His Father while He was there on the cross of Calvary, amen, and then all throughout His life He talked to God and prayed, He definitely set the example for us in that regard for sure. You know, I think the same thing ought to be true today in mine and your lives, like we talked about in Sunday school, when we go through hard times or even when things are good, we ought to go to God and pray, amen, and pour out our heart to Him. And here's the Lord, if you will, going through the most difficult time in His life, I think we could say, there on the cross, amen, being crucified, after the beating, after the mocking, after the scourging, after all those things went through and took place. Now here He is on the cross, and the first thing He does is He prays to His Father God. He goes to God and He talks to Him about it. And that's the first thing you and I ought to do when we face troubles and things and hard times in our lives. Amen? When we're being persecuted, when we're having things come against us, the first thing we ought to do is go talk to God about them. Amen? When we have physical problems, it's good to go see the doctor. But before we go see him, we ought to go talk to God about them. Amen? We ought to go talk to Him about the things that we have in our lives, you know, job problems or whatever. Go talk to God first, amen? Addressed here His Father God as He said, "Father," and notice His request. He had an address and a request in this first saying. His request was, "Forgive them," amen? And here's why He wanted God to forgive them. for they know not what they do. Amen. In other words, he said, Father, I want you to forgive these people that are doing this. I want you to take and forgive them for what they're doing in nailing me to this cross and doing these things that they're doing and that I've endured and that I am enduring and I am going through. You think about you and me today. Here he's saying, Father, forgive them. And I ask myself this question honestly this morning, and if you ask yourself the question with me honestly as well, what would you do if you were in this place? I don't think my first saying that I would say from the cross would be, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It will be instead probably something like this, Lord, give them what they deserve. Amen. That probably would be something, be what my first saying would be, or Lord, let them have it. Amen. Lord, get me down from here, and Lord, strike them. You know, let them have it for what they're doing to me. I'm just trying to do what's right. Amen. You think about here, the Lord was guilty of nothing, but the first thing he said was not forgive me, but forgive them. Amen. Because they were the ones, if you will, that needed to be forgiven, not the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always amazing to me when you look at the life of Jesus, even here on the cross, that it was always about other people. Amen. It was always about other people. It was always about us. It was never about, hardly ever, himself. Amen. And the things that he needed, if you will, it was always about others. Putting himself first, last, and others first. And that's the way our life ought to be. You see here, his request was, forgive them, Father. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You think about how in the world could the Lord Jesus Christ do this, being fully God, but yet fully man too. How could he do this and say this when in spite of him being hung? Remember that. On the cross by those nails and the shape that he's in physically, that this is what he would say. This is what he would say. How could he do that? Well, I think simply it's because of his love. Amen. It's because of his great love that he could take, and as he was enduring these things on the cross, he could say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It had to be because of his great love. There's no other reason that makes even sense, if you will, as he's going through this. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. The greater love. No greater love. And truly the Lord demonstrated there's no greater love than he has. John 3:16. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You think about today, here the Lord Jesus Christ, as he died on that cross, why could he say, Father, forgive them, be the first thing that he said, the first thing out of his mouth? Because of his great love. 1 John 3:16, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God. And you read the rest of the verse, it's because of what he did for us on Calvary. I think about today, it's amazing to see what God can do. You think about the last phrase here of the cross, we don't talk too much about it. He said, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. Have you ever thought about that phrase just for a little bit? They know not what they do. The Lord was saying here, Jesus was saying, hey, Father, I want you to forgive them. And here's why. They don't know what they're doing. You say, well, Pastor, how could they not know what they're doing? They're crucifying a man. You're exactly right. That's what they thought. They thought they were crucifying a man, just another man. One that was stirring up trouble. One that was causing strife. One that was, if you will, hurting their pockets and taking away from them and getting these people to follow his way rather than following their religious way and their beliefs and what they thought. They didn't realize that he was not just a man, amen, that he was the Son of God, amen. They didn't realize that he was the Messiah, the one that God had, that was long promised to come, the one they had been looking for and seeking for. They didn't realize that. That's why he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, Lord. They do not realize who I am and that you have sent me. Forgive them, if you will. They're ignorant of the fact of who I am. They don't realize it. Lord, forgive them. I say today, you think about, that's the same case a lot of times when it comes today to people here on this earth, to the lost. A lot of times we go, we try to witness to them, we try to share them the gospel, we try to point out the things that the Bible says about salvation, and what do? They're just blinded to the truth. Amen? It's not that they're not being showed the truth, it's not that they're not being told the truth, because we're sharing it with them, we're talking to them, we're trying to show them, but what do? They're just blinded. They cannot see, if you will. And a lot of times I find it amazing they'll use those exact words. I just don't see that. I just don't see that. And you think about that. Why don't they see it? Because they're blinded. They don't see the truth. Amen. And that's the way these were. As they seen Jesus there on the cross of Calvary, going through all that He did, He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They don't realize who I am, Lord. Please forgive them." You think about today, here the Lord was, again, concerned about others in the first saying on the cross. The second one is in chapter 23, but verse 43. Skip down to verse 43. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." We know that Jesus had two others, and we read the verse a while ago about the two malefactors. There was two others that was crucified where Jesus was that day. There was two others, and both of them, one on each side, were guilty. Amen. Both of them were guilty. They had been condemned, and rightly so, to death by the law that they had back then. The one in verse 39 said, if you're Christ, He said, save us. Get us down off the cross. And he blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ. But you think the other one on the other side condemned that man. And he said, we're the ones who's done something wrong, not him. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I think about today, and the Lord, of course, we know did, right? And he said he would. He said, verily I say unto thee, in verse 43, the second saying from the cross, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You think about the second saying from the cross, we know that from a personal standpoint of when it took place, that we know today for sure that this man is in heaven. Amen? I have no doubt that this man is in heaven. Why? Because Jesus said he would be from that day. Amen? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But how does that apply to me and you today? Well, it applies in lots of different ways. I think about there's one issue that comes up a lot of times that's hotly debated, if you will, and one or several actually this one dispels, but one of them is this fact that the fact of a bed, if you call it, people use this term, a bedside or deathbed conversion. Deathbed conversion. You say, what do you mean? In other words, can a person take their whole life, be lost, never accept the Lord Jesus Christ, live their lives whatever way in sin and the things that they do, but yet, right before they die, pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart and save them. And actually go to heaven and be saved. Do you believe that, Pastor? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You say, but look at all they've done. They're just saying that because they realize that they are about to die. Well, I understand all that, and I can't deny anything that you just said a lot of times. But you know what? We have an example in the Bible where that did, and therefore it can still today take place. Amen? Because there was one that right before he died, that was condemned, that was guilty, that was being punished for his crime, that man still at the last second did what? He prayed and asked the Lord to save him. Amen? And to take him to heaven. And so because of that, I believe today that a person can do that at the last minute. If the Lord's working on his heart, if he's convicting him, amen, and he prays and asks the Lord to forgive him of his sin and save him, he can still be saved at that last moment. Amen? Up until that last breath, amen, as we say a lot of times, he still can be saved. You think about today, a lot of times people, and I understand this to a point, but you think about today, you saying even a person that's been in jail, that's committed murders, that's on death row, which we don't do this no more, that's about to be executed. Even that person can take and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ right before they die. They can, amen. Why? Because this man did. Amen. He's about to be killed. He's in the process of being killed. Amen. As he paying for his crimes, as he's there on the cross. And so if the Lord did it in his situation, he can still do it today. Amen. I know a lot of times people say things and do things, and I understand all that, and I'm not going to deny it. But I'm just simply saying this, that this man took and he got saved right before he died. And so it still can happen today. Amen. He didn't have to be baptized. He didn't have to become a member of a church. He didn't have to live a good, clean life for a certain amount of time. No, he took and he asked the Lord to save him. Amen. Forgive him of his sin. He asked the Lord. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You read the verses there and you can see that in greater detail. So you think about here the second phrase, the second saying, if you will, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But the third saying from the cross is found in John chapter number 19, if you'll turn with me there. John 19 and verse number 25, we see the third saying from the cross. John 19:25. The Bible says in John 19:25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved," talking about John, "he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home." You see the third saying from the cross, "Woman, behold thy son." And then the second part of that, "Behold thy mother." You think about here's one saying from the cross. We lump it into one, but it was really two parts, if you will, to this third saying from the cross. The first one is he said, "Woman, behold thy son." Jesus wasn't being disrespectful to his mama or nothing like that. We don't get into all that this morning. But he wasn't being disrespectful to her. He was simply saying, "Woman, I want you to see, behold thy son." May I say today, there's been debate about whether he was saying, "Look at me," or, "John, he's your son now." Either way you want to look at it, may I say this morning that as he was there on the cross, he was concerned about his mama. Amen. As he was there on the cross, he was concerned about his mama. Again, at that time, he's hung between heaven and earth on that cross of Calvary, bleeding, dying for you, for me, for all. You think about it, at that moment, it wasn't thinking about himself, but who was it about? His family. Amen. Those that he loved. Amen. As he said, "Woman, behold thy son." He was concerned about her. He realized who's going to take care of her. What's going to happen to her after I'm gone? You think about, he was concerned about that. And then he took and he told John, he said, "Behold thy mother." In other words, this is now your mama. I'm not going to be here anymore. I need you to help take care of her for me. Amen. And what did the disciple do? The Bible said from that point on, he took her and he took care of her. Amen. May I say today, if it was that important for Jesus at the last minute to make sure that his family was taken care of, we need to take care of our family today. Amen. The best we can. We may not be able to take and do as the instance of this disciple is to take them into our home and to be there, but we need to make sure they're taken care of. Amen. And make sure they're taken care of as best as possible. You think about here the Lord Jesus again, not thinking about himself, but thinking about his mama. You think about, "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother." Despite what he was going through, look at who the Lord was concerned about. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew 27, and we'll see the fourth saying from the cross. Matthew chapter number 27. I know there's a lot more that could be said about these this morning, but we're just kind of looking at them to remind ourselves of the things that Jesus said and where his heart and his mind and his direction was by the words that he said as he was there on the cross. Matthew 27 and verse number 45. Matthew 27:45. And again, this one is one that different people debate about, but it's pretty clear what the Lord's saying here. Matthew 27:45. It says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." By the way, if we got into all that, we'd find out that that's simply saying it was dark at a time of day where it wasn't supposed to be dark. Amen. And it was dark at an odd time. It wasn't nighttime. It wasn't supposed to be dark, but it was dark because of what was taking place here on the cross of Calvary. Verse 46, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying," here's the fourth saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You think about today, here's the fourth saying from the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, and here is the interpretation of it, or that's to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You think about here at this point of Christ's life when he needed his Father the greatest, more than any other time in his life, that it will be at this time and this point that his Father would turn his back on his own son. You think about today, I don't know, now that I've had two sons. Amen. I don't know how a father could ever take and turn their back on their son. I understand being frustrated. I understand being angry and mad and having a time where you might just have to walk away or a day or so and cool down or a few hours. I understand that. But to take and turn your back on your own son, how heartbreaking that must have been for God the Father, his one and only son, to take and to turn and to walk away. You say, why and how in the world could a loving God do that to His own Son? How and why in the world could He do that to someone He cared about when He said He'd never leave or forsake us? But here He is, turning His back on His own Son. Well, I believe it's clear here because He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because at this moment it was black. Remember that total blackness at a time where it was not normally black, because at that moment He was taking the sin of the whole world on Him. Amen? He had to take the sin of the whole world there on the cross of Calvary upon Himself if He was to be the sacrifice for you and me. He had to bear the sin of the world. He had to take our punishment. He had to shed His blood, that precious blood, and take our guilt and our punishment and our sin and bear it on the cross there for you and for me if we were to ever have a chance to be saved. He had to do that. And we know the Bible says that God can't look upon sin. Amen. So at that moment, I believe it's when all the sin of the whole world was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ as He was dying for me and for you. And God can't look upon sin. And so He turned His back, if you will, on His own Son, because at that moment, He was bearing our sin. You think about what, you know, you think about the nails in His hands was bad. Amen. And by the way, it was nails. Some people depict it with ropes around the hands. And they did do that at times, but that wasn't the case with Jesus, because you read the case of Thomas and it talked about the print of the nails in His hands. So we know it was nails they used with Jesus. And you think about, there was nails in His feet. You think about all that He was going through at this point. All that He was enduring. Gasping for every breath of air. Pulling up and down on the cross like we know they had to get the air and things into their lungs and all. You think about, at this point is when He bore all of our sin. And the nails hurt, and no doubt the pain hurt from everything He had endured and went through. I can't imagine how much pain He was in. But probably the thing that hurt the most was His Father turning His back on Him. And all that weight of sin on Him on the cross of Calvary. You think about, He did this for you and for me. Perhaps no greater pain. There's a words of a song that Kelly sings at times today that the Lord reminded me of as I thought about this fourth saying from the cross. As it says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? The song says this, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. And I can't help but think of how deep of a love it is for us, that He would love us that much, that He would go through all that for a wretch like me because I'm His treasure. You think about what a great love that He went through there on the cross for us as He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? This is the time I need You the most. Why have You forsaken Me? But He had to, because of the sin, so He could bear it for you and for me. Turn back to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19, and we see the fifth saying there from the cross. John chapter number 19 this morning. John 19 and verse number 28. The fifth saying, and this is really the only one that I see in these seven sayings where Jesus actually showed anything really concerned with His own physical needs, Himself, what He needed at that point. As in John 19, 28, the shortest saying here, if you will, John 19, 28, He said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Jesus wanted something to drink, amen. This shows the fact, yes, He was fully God by the things we just talked about, but you know what else? He was fully human too. Amen. As He had a physical, real thirst, like I got right now. Amen. He had a physical, real thirst, like we all get when we get out there cutting grass and working in the yard and everything else. Just getting ready to come up this wonderful time of year where we have to cut grass again. Amen. But you think about, I thirst, He said. I thirst. He was thirsty. Think about all He had been enduring on the cross and all the things previous to it as He wanted just a drink of water for Himself to drink. Instead, what did they do? They tried to give Him vinegar. Amen. There's a lot of things we could say about that. But may I just simply say this morning, they tried to give Him vinegar. In the end, He did take of it. He did have some water, if you will. He didn't partake of the mixed one, but He did take of the water there. But you think about, they gave him something bitter to drink instead of the water. May I say today that you think about this, and it spoke to me because you think about the cross was a bitter experience. Amen. You think about how bitter our sin is in the eyes of God, and how God has to turn His back even. He cannot look upon sin, as we just talked about. But Jesus took that bitter cup. Amen. Remember, He talked about that cup in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, "Nevertheless, if Thou will, not My will, but Thine be done." Talked about drinking of that cup. May I say that here you think this was a bitter cup Jesus had to drink on the cross of Calvary. But He drunk that bitter cup and endured it for His Father's will, so that you and I might be saved, so that we might instead drink of the water, amen, that we'll never thirst again. It was that water so that we'll never thirst again. But if He wouldn't have drunk of that bitter cup, if He wouldn't have been at that place of thirst, amen, then you and I could never have known the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ that flows from Calvary's hill. They would never have known that living water that flows out of the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, in our lives that saves us. Turn with me to John chapter 19. You're still there. Over to verse number, let's read verses 28 through 30. We read 28, let's look at 29, if you will. It says, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is,'" here's the next one, "'finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Notice with me, if you will, the sixth saying here from the cross, as he said, "It is finished. It is finished." You think about what was the Lord Jesus Christ saying here. He was saying simply, "The work I've come to do is done." Amen. He's saying, "I've paid the price. I bore the sin of mankind. I've endured the pain, endured the shame. I've took the sin upon the whole world, and I've died in their place. Lord, the work is done. What you've sent me to do, the reason why I was born is to die, and it's here." Amen. "I've done it all, Lord, that you've sent me to do." He says, "It is finished." And I thought about, you know, a lot of times when people are on their deathbed, they take and a lot of times they'll say certain things. And a lot of times when you hear people's last words, when they're able to speak their last words in their right mind, which is, I know, rare and doesn't happen in most cases nowadays. But when a person does, you think about how sometimes some of those words and things, what they are and how much meaning they have. You think about here, the Lord says, "It is finished," as He's about to die. In other words, you think He says, "Lord, I've done everything You wanted me to do." And I thought, what better way and what better words for us to say when it comes to the end of our life? "Lord, it's finished. My time's up. I've done everything You wanted me to do. Your work's done in my life. What You'd have me to do with it, it's done. It's finished, Lord." You think about today, I thought about as I seen this phrase, "It is finished," and He had finished everything the Lord wanted Him to do in dying on the cross so that we as sinners might be made saints, so that we might be saved. I couldn't help but think about the song, and it's an old song, but you know it. "Oh, what a Savior, oh hallelujah, He gave His lifeblood for even me." Amen. You think about what a Savior we serve. Amen. About how He was made sin for us, the Bible says over in Rome in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He was made sin for us, amen, that knew no sin, amen, that you and I might take and go to heaven one day. I think about another song that we sing sometimes. "Oh, what a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Amen. Thank the Lord that now we can be changed from a sinner to a saint because of Jesus Christ finishing the work on the cross of Calvary. You think about the greatest gift of salvation now today you and I can accept if we'll just trust and believe in Him. But turn to Luke chapter number 23 and we'll look at the last saying from the cross. Luke 23. This morning. Luke 23 and verse number 44. Luke 23, 44. The last saying from the cross. The Bible says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." And we could talk about that. Let's go on. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, 'Father, and to Thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." The last saying that Jesus said from the cross, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." At this point, Jesus was simply saying, it's finished, it's done. He said, Lord, I give my spirit to you. I commend my spirit to you. You think about, again, the interesting thing I found about this saying that spoke to me was, if you remember back when we started this morning, the first saying that the Lord had from the cross started with one word. And the first word in that first saying from the cross was the word Father. The last word, the first word in the last saying from the cross is the same word, Father. And I thought about what a testimony. You think the first words from the cross, He spoke to His Father. The last words from the cross, He spoke in prayer to His Father. He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm giving You my spirit, Lord. I've given You my life. It's finished. Everything You wanted me to do, I've done. He said, now I give You my spirit, Lord. And He gave up the ghost. You think about today, His last breath He gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave for you and for me. I ask you today, what will we do with the breath God's given us here on this earth? Our life's but a vapor. That means a breath that here for a little time and then vanisheth away. You think about Jesus endured all these things on the cross this morning for me and you. How about us today? What are we doing for Him? Are we witnessing? Amen. Are we sharing the gospel? Are we inviting people to church like we ought to? Are we praying? Are we reading our Bibles every day like we ought to? You think about, what are we doing for Him today? The cross of Jesus Christ is truly, and I use this word with quotation marks, is truly the greatest story ever told. It's truly the greatest story ever told, the cross of Jesus Christ and what He did for us there on Calvary and dying and then rising again. The greatest story ever told. But you know what? What makes it the greatest story is the fact it is a true story. Amen? It is exactly what took place. It is what the Lord went through for you and for me. It's always amazing this time of year, especially when we come around this time and around Christmas, you see a lot of times specials come on TV, right? You see these specials, well, they'll have a little thing talking about the resurrection or the crucifixion, and at Christmas you'll see a little thing talking about the birth of Christ. And always, if I'm at home and there's no good football game or something else like that on, I always watch those things. Why you say good football game? Because you'd rather see that than church stuff? No, because most of the time what they put on is junk. And it's got so much stuff in it that's not true. But if there's nothing else on, amen, and most of the time there's not, I like to watch those things and just see what they're saying. And I say today that you think about, the Bible gives us an accurate account of what all the Lord went through. Amen. What all He went through. Right. And you think about today that a lot of times you'll see things this time of year about, well, is it really right? You know, did it really happen? It did. Amen. Amen. You think about today, it's amazing what Jesus Christ went through for me and you. What He did for me and you. I couldn't help but think about another song in closing today and how the Lord and how the cross of Calvary makes a difference in our lives. You think about, some people may argue about that thief on the cross that died, that came to know the Lord, and say, well, did he have a change in his life? Did he become a new creature? I don't see no evidence of it. His fruit, how am I going to know him? He died right after that. I couldn't see nothing. You know what? I believe there was a change in his life. Amen. I believe the change was evidenced by him saying the words that he said to Jesus there on the cross. Amen. Amen. And I believe the change was evidenced as soon as he closed those eyes and he woke up in heaven, there was a change. Amen. And it was evidence what happened, what took place with this man. But a change happens when a person gets saved. And the Bible and the song the Lord reminded me of says this, today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Amen. May I say today that thanks to Calvary, you'll never be the same again if you know Him as your Savior. And today, if you don't know Him as your Savior, may I say today that thanks to Calvary, you can come to know Him as your Savior. And He'll change you in ways in your heart, in your life, that you never imagined. And you can say, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the same person I used to be. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done. Thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You, dear Lord, for going to that cross and dying and shedding Your blood so that we might be saved. Thank You, dear Lord, for the sayings that are recorded in your word from the cross, the things that you said before you left this earth, dear Lord, and went to heaven. And dear Lord, I thank you for what you did for us and for me. Dear Lord, I don't deserve it. But dear Lord, thank you for your love. I fail you so often, so many times. But dear Lord, you still love us. And you still care for us. And dear Lord, thank you for loving me, the wretch that I am. And dear Father, I pray today if there's one in here that's lost that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray for they leave this place that they might come to know you as their Savior. And I pray for those of us that are saved that we'd share the message even more, dear Lord, than what we have been. And dear Lord, a great opportunity to invite people to church this coming week and to share with people the gospel the week before Easter. Help us, dear Father, I pray. Bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name.